What's going on, everybody? I am Perry White. I'm the host of the Jaguar Journal. I want to make sure that you guys tune in live each and every Saturday morning from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on 107.3 FM. We also have our affiliates in Alexandria, Louisiana, as well as down in New Orleans. And if you're not able to catch us on radio live, you can subscribe to our YouTube channel as well as follow us on Facebook. It's the Jaguar Journal.
Opinionated, outspoken, informative.
The Jaguar Journal.
Your source for the latest information on Southern University sports and SWAC athletics.
A Baton Rouge sports talk tradition.
Right, bright and early on a Saturday morning, we getting things rocking and rolling. This is the Jaguar Journal. Good morning, everybody. I'm Perry White. Glad to have you guys with us. It is football season. Southern University's first home game today, the Pete Richardson Classic. Southern versus Kentucky State, the Thoroughbreds. The second time these two teams have met. It's been a long time since the last time these two teams have played. The last time was in the 60s. What was you doing in the 60s the last time these two teams played? But, you know, as we jump right into today's show, for many, many years, right, everybody goes to the game from when you first born to when you can't go and they got to push you around to Southern University football games. And you watch the band and you get a chance to keep up with the band. And Mike, we good? All right. And you get a chance to keep up with the band. And what the first thing you do when it's halftime, you hear a unique and very, 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 very distinguished voice. And it has been going on. He's been the voice for 30 years. 30 years. So pretty much everybody's in half of your existence or most of your existence, you've been hearing his voice. And we got him here on the show this morning because we want to talk about that 30-year journey. Welcome to the Jaguar Journey this morning, my man Darren Bedell. Good morning, Darren.
Perry, what's going on, man? Good morning. How are you today, bro?
I'm doing good, man. How about yourself?
I'm well. Getting ready for the Jaguar show.
Listen. It's a big day. It's a home game for you, man. You know, you get ready for these home games, and, you know, what's better for you? Is it home or away?
It's away. Let me get this straight. I love being at home. I love being in Mumford. I love being around the Jaguar Nation. But when it's something about when you go to other people's stadium and you get to talk a little trash, that gets the blood flowing, Perry.
Are you like talking trash?
A little bit. Sometimes, to the opposing band. We do it kind of discreetly. We don't, you know, some of them are obnoxious, but we do it kind of, we do it discreetly.
What's discreetly? Because, hey, and I want your opinion on this, because last year the Florida A&M announcer got into a little trouble talking trash, and they fined them, suspended them. You know, your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, it just depends, because, like I said, we do it discreetly. And most of the time, we let our show speak for itself. And when I say discreetly, I may say something like, This is what the other band tried to do. Mm-hmm. Or this is what the other bands are going to try to do. That's discreet. You can't talk about the people in Ozempic and their sizes. That's out of the question.
You know, as you look at your journey, man, because being a bandsman yourself in Southern University's marching band, for you, how did this journey begin just in the band itself?
Well, I'm a second generation jukebox guy, man. My dad marched in Southern Band in the 70s. And it's a story behind that deal. But at any rate, then there's a cadence named after my dad. The cadence Joe Friday is actually named after my dad. So my journey began in the 70s, man. I would come to games. My uncle also marched in Southern Band. He was a freshman in 75. So I've been around Southern Band. I've been hearing about Southern Band. Even though I'm from New Orleans, Southern Band has been embedded in me all my life.
That's interesting that there's a cadence actually named after your dad. That how many people out there would have known that?
If you bought some Southern Band, or if you played in the Funk Factory, that's what it was called back in the day, the Funk Factory, immediately you know, you hear the name Joe Friday because that's one of the cadences in the sequence. But sometimes you have to tell it. You know, a lot of people still don't know.
Now,
but if you went to the Funk Factory, by this time, you know, after 30 years, you would know.
Let me ask you this. For you getting this journey, 30 years of you being the voice of the Southern University Human Jukebox, man, how did that start? How did that even begin for you to be the voice of Southern?
Well, there was a guy announced before me named Henry Lee. And at this time, I was the graduate assistant. I was working on my master's in mass communication. So there are two assistants. The two assistants were the late Mr. Cornell Knighton and Mr. Lawrence Jackson, who eventually became the director of bands at Southern University. So Henry Lee was a pastor as well. Henry Lee got a church in California. So him being a voice of the human jukebox, that was a done deal. So they put out this search for the next voice of the human jukebox while I'm working on my master's in mass communication. And what's great about Southern University band staff is that everybody on that staff has marched in the human jukebox. So there's nobody that's ever been on that staff that wasn't affiliated with the human jukebox. So fast forward, here we go. They're doing a search. Dr. Greg is doing a search. Cornell Knighton, Lawrence Jackson tell me, Peter, why don't you go there and do what Henry Lee does? I didn't know I could do it, so I went in there. First, Perry, Dr. Greg said, let me hear you. Tell it to me. Play it. Say it. So my first run, Perry, Dr. Greg's in his candid voice told me, get out of his office. Because you sound like a monotone, which I wasn't upset because I really didn't want to do it. So I left. A couple days go by. Mr. Knight, Lawrence Jackson, Mr. Jackson, tell me to go back and do it. Man, do it the right way. Because they knew I could do it, I guess. So I went in there, Perry, and I did it the right way because they didn't want anybody else on that staff that wasn't affiliated with Southern University Marching Band. So at that point, I went in there and I imitated Henry Lee. And 30 years later, here we are.
Here we are. You know, very unique voice. Hit me with that mic check one time.
Mic check one. Ladies and gentlemen, are you ready?
Go give me the whole thing, man. Give me the whole thing.
I got to save some for halftime, man. You'll get the whole deal at halftime.
Hey, and let me tell y'all, listen. He is the unofficial mayor of New Orleans. I thought my boy Garrett Edgerton was very popular in New Orleans, but you walk with Darren B. in the parade, and you watch how many hands he shake, how many hugs he give, and how many babies he kiss. Man, listen, I think you can run for any office in the city of New Orleans. You may win it by a landslide, man.
The only thing I'm going to run for is the border, Perry. I'm not running for anything else.
But for your 30-year journey, man, here we are 30 years later, and your voice is known for the human jukebox, man. For you, just that legacy for yourself and how that feel.
It's a great accomplishment, man. In the beginning, I really didn't want to do it, but to be able to call people like Dr. Greggs. I know I stand on the shoulders of the giants, man. To call Dr. Greggs, who was also a father figure, to call him friend, to call him mentor, to call him coworker. That was the crazy part. You know, you met Dr. Greggs as a child. You never in your mind imagined that you would be working on the side of Dr. Isaac Greggs. I heard the name that was running through my house was Crowley. That was Mr. Jackson's freshman name, crab name. So to be able to work with him and Mr. Knighton, they marched in a band with my dad. That's how crazy the whole piece was. You know, so I met those guys as a child, man. To be able to work on side of those guys was impeccable, man. I really enjoyed that part of the journey. You know, and I miss those guys every day. You know, every time I put my suit on, I think about Mr. Knight and I think about Dr. Gregg. You know, so that piece right there. Mr. Jackson talk all the time.
Man, you know, your journey has been one and it's still going. You know, your voice will be heard today in A.W. Mumford Stadium. And that's the beautiful thing about this, man. When you hear Southern's band in this halftime, you're ready to rock and roll. And for 30 years, you have been the voice of the Southern University Human Jukebox. You are very unique in your delivery. And when I say unique, like you say, it's a little trash talk, but at the same time, it don't go too far. You know, what you say, this is what the other band tried to do, right?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
And I love it, man. And I think from everybody, it's the unique names of the drum majors. Do you come up with that on the spot, or I got to ask that secret when it comes to that?
No, ironically, they choose their own name, man. They choose their name and have to run it by the director of band. And they'd be so excited to come tell me their name. I laugh because I didn't call so many names. I don't even remember some of the names I didn't call.
I was definitely going to ask you the most unique drum major name that you have said over the years.
Right now we have the Showstopper. I've called Silky Slim, Silky Smooth, Too Cold. Man, so many names. After 30 years, I don't know how they have any more adjectives to describe a drum major. So it's so many names I've called, Terry. I'm telling you, it's crazy. But they enjoy it, man, and it's exciting to me when they run up to me and tell me their names. So now I got to fill in a new name with a new guy, man. But it's good. We've been having a Showstopper for a few years now.
Well, listen, Darren, man, I appreciate you coming on this morning, being able to talk with me and just give some insight of 30 years and what this journey looks like, how it started, where we at, and giving us some insight of more of you that we may not know outside of your voice, man. I appreciate you.
I'm an educator, man. I've been a dean of students at a couple schools here in the city of New Orleans. I love playing golf. You know, people might not look. Man, people may not believe that I love playing golf, but I guess like every other golfer, I just don't get a chance to play enough. But in high school, man, I was a pretty decent athlete. I played baseball and I played basketball in high school. So looking at my frame now, you may not believe I was an athlete, but.
Hey man, we ain't judged too. What you talking about?
Looking at this physique now, Paris. You would say the man was an athlete, but I was an athlete in high school.
Well, Darren, man, I appreciate you coming on this morning, man. Looking forward to hearing your voice today. Looking forward to seeing you today, man, as we continue 30 years of hearing Mr. Darren Bedell, the voice of the Southern University Human Jukebox, man. I appreciate you coming on this morning.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you. Thanks for having me, Terry.
Yes, sir. All right, everybody, let's get ready to take a break. We come back on the side. We get ready to talk some football. I know that's what y'all want, but we'll get into it. So you guys stay tuned. We'll be back more to Jaguar Journal. All right, everybody, we're back. It is the Jaguar Journal. Good morning. Glad to have you guys with us, man, as we get things rocking and rolling. It's football season, week one. It's time to get into it, right? MEAC, SWAC, and whatever else. The football gods in Baton Rouge this weekend. Of course, LSU and Clemson, big atmosphere. Southern versus Kentucky State, the Pete Richardson Classic. So Baton Rouge has had a buzz for the past 3 days, and it's going to be buzzing even more as the day continues. But as before we get there to that Southern Kentucky State game, let's look around the MEAC and the SWAC. And listen, I got to have a very special guest here to help me do it this morning. You've seen him. You've heard him. And now he's here this morning, my man Jeff Lightley Jr. Good morning, Jeff.
Terry, what's going on, man? I appreciate you having me on today.
Help me. I want to make sure I say that because sometimes last names, I just cannot say them correctly. Get it for me one time.
Jeff Lightsey Jr. Lightsey, like light with a S-Y. Lightsey.
Lightsey. There we go, Jeff Lightsey. What's going on? Good morning.
Hey, good morning, man. I appreciate you having me on. I'm a fan of your work, Terry. I've seen you before. I've seen you work. I've seen you get at folks on the microphone, and I appreciate you having me on this morning.
Hey, man, I appreciate you coming on, man. Look, when I reached out to you, I said, man, I got to come the right way because I don't know if the guy's even heard of me before.
I have, man. You actually, I don't know if you know this or not, you actually inspired me over the offseason to get a video over your coach down at Southern, Coach Marshall Faulk. At one point, I felt like, well, you know, Coach Faulk wasn't repping Southern enough, and I think I had seen something that you had done at first. And I was like, you know, that's right. So you know what I mean? Like, yeah, we got to get a little more SU gear to Coach Faulk. You know, make sure that gets to his Pro Football Hall of Fame address and make sure he's getting that Southern gear rocking around all these media events he's doing over the offseason.
So I wasn't tripping.
No, you wasn't tripping at all. You wasn't tripping. I agree with you. I was like, yo, he's hopping on Rich Eisen and he's doing all these different things. And he's not repping the brand enough for me, you know, for a job he just took.
Well, man, listen, I appreciate you coming on this morning. And let's jump right into it. I want to talk some MEAC first, then we'll jump over into the swag. But looking back last week, looking at the MEAC, we had an opportunity to talk about last week on the show because it was on a Thursday, Delaware State versus Stony Brook. But for you, looking at DeSean Jackson in his second year, man, they went up big in this game, but ultimately had to fight for their life at the end and get a victory to beat Stony Brook. But what do you think about so far DeSean Jackson in year two and coming out with a victory?
Yeah, I like it, man. So the thing that DeSean Jackson has surprised me the most is the style of football he likes to play. The fact that he likes a ground-and-pound running game, guys that are going to get the ball in the end zone from the ground. You know, running the ball is something that I just didn't expect him to do as a head coach. And we saw it. He had one of, if not the number one rushing attack in all of FCS last year, and to essentially come back in year two and do the exact same thing, that to me is like, okay. You know, okay, D-Jack, because we know D-Jack was known. I think he has the NFL record for 80-yard touchdown through the air, right? Like, he's a wide receiver that likes to have the big plays, and to have him as a football team, his football team is coaching, to be one of the top rushing attacks in all of FCS, and essentially year two to have that going again, is something that is just impressive. It's something that shows that, hey, I'm going to go with the skill set of my team, of the skill set that I'm able to build through recruiting, and the skill set that works best for me to get W's. Because it led to 8 victories last year and 1 win away from the Cricket Celebration Bowl. And so now it looks as if year two, he's going with the same approach. Now, you have to be able to maintain lead. He gained the lead last week, kind of lost it. You know what I'm saying? Now, and was able to get it back and win at the end. But is he able to maintain lead this year, go up the next step, and to really show that he's one of the premier teams in the MEAC this year?
And let's look at, let's keep it moving. Morgan State taking on North Carolina A&T. Yeah. Let me tell you, A&T is falling from grace. I remember going to the Celebration Bowl and watching Tariq Corn and watching this team win Celebration Bowl after Celebration Bowl. Now they can't beat nobody. You know what I'm saying? It's 17-7 was the score last week. Morgan State, a team who had been struggling with Damon Wilson as the head coach, and now they've kind of found something to start the season off on the positive light. But Morgan State over A&T, 7 points, just couldn't get it going.
Yeah, man. So Damon Wilson is a coach that I've had an opportunity to interview before. I love Damon Wilson. Man, he's a great guy, and, you know, his resume in Division II was superior. He came to Morgan State. He hasn't had the success, and this is kind of a make-or-break year for him. And now to get that win to start the season off against North Carolina A&T, it was big for him. Now, what are you able to do this year? Because, like I said, it is a make-or-break year. People are getting antsy. There are different names that are popping up in that DMV area that could potentially want that job. You know, Perry, you're a swag guy. You are a Southern guy. You understand that the celebrity head coach is something that a lot of people are craving for. A lot of people don't like. A lot of people do like. And there's names that are floating around that Morgan State job. If Coach Damon Wilson isn't able to get it done in 2026, that have potentially shown interest in that job. And so this year is a big year for him. To get that win in week zero was huge. Now I'm curious to see what he's able to do the rest of the season.
Big victory on the other side. You're talking about celebrity coach, Coach Michael Vick. Norfolk State gets a big victory over Winston-Salem, 56-0. This is the way it was supposed to go, simply as that.
Yeah, it was, man. I mean, let's be honest. 2025 was a disaster for Michael Vick. Right, you had all the cameras, you got BET, you got the, you know, you did the Deion route as far as the documentary in year one. But unlike Deion, who had a ton of success and won the SWAC in year one, Michael Vick won one game. You know, so hey, you had a lot of people scratching their head. It's like, hey man, we could have kept other coaches who's only won one game. You know what I mean? The other coaches did better than this. I think Vick hired the wrong staff. I think Vick kind of went about it the wrong way in year one. Year two, it seems as if he's finally got things figured out. We'll see what the rest of the season brings, but that, you know, having a shutout, scoring 50 points in week zero. The start year two off was huge for him. It was big. It was a boost. It was a momentum shift because I do think Michael Vick really wants to be successful at this. We'll just have to see what year two brings for him, though. But getting that win in week zero was huge. I can't wait to see what year two looks like the rest of the way.
Hey, Mike, back, what cuss words can I not use, okay? Because there's a certain words I want to use for this next game, the way South Carolina State just ran up and down the field with Savannah State. 87-0, man. This made news of Chinnis Berry. Why you do your alma mater like that? I can say ass. Yeah. Well, they got their ass whooped, okay? Thank you, Mike, for clearing that up for me. Jeff, what you got?
Yeah, man. Aiden, like, when I saw this score last week, Perry, I'm going to be honest with you. I thought I saw a typo. I was like, yo, you know what I mean? Like, you know, like, ain't no way they scored 87. Well, those are basketball numbers. You know what I'm saying? And then they didn't give up a point. Because a lot of times when you see teams score, you know, 60, 70 points, you're like, okay, they give up a touchdown or two. You know what I'm saying? The backups done gave up something. Because, you know, clearly the Stars weren't playing anymore. But 87-0, to your point, Perry, it got Chinnis Berry on nightcap because it was not just his alma mater. It's Pro Football Hall of Famer Shannon Sharpe's alma mater. He's like, yo, why you do our school like that, gang? Like, why you do us like that? You know what I mean? Like, 87 points, what's going on? And Chinnis Berry, I love his mindset because despite all the headlines, despite all the attention that he was able to get because of that domination that he was able to put on the field, he just said, man, we were just looking to go 1-0, sir. We were just looking to go 1-0. And he never changed his tune. He never changed his attitude. And, hey, South Carolina State is here to say, hey, last year wasn't a fluke. We might be better this year. Because any team that you beat 87-0, man, you put up basketball numbers. I don't give a damn if he's playing the school of the blind. You know what I'm saying? You put up 87 points. That is impressive, and that is to show, like, hey, we won the whole thing last year. We're coming for it again. We're looking to make a repeat this year.
Got my man Jeff Lightsey here on the show with me this morning. Let's get ready to take a break, everybody. We come back on the other side. We'll dig deeper into college football, looking at the MEAC and the SWAC. Still some more games to cover. Jeff, you can hang on with me?
Yes, sir.
All right, everybody. Let's take a break, pay some bills, and we'll be back. Stay tuned. More of the Jaguar Journal. All right, everybody, we're back. It is the Jaguar Journal. Good morning. Glad to have you guys with us. Good morning to everybody around the Baton Rouge Capital City area. Listen on Talk 107.3 FM. Good morning as the city is waking up and being alive this morning. A lot of football being played in the 225. And good morning to everybody watching across the world on our YouTube Live, Facebook Live. We're on Twitch TV. Follow us across all social media. We're also on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere. All you got to do is simply type in the Jaguar Journal. We're not hard to find. And this morning, I got my man Jeff Lightsey joining me, Jr. Got to make sure I put that JR on it, right? Joining us here this morning. Listen, we're talking MEAC. We're talking SWAC. Couple more games still of MEAC, SWAC. But then let's look at one that caught my attention. Texas Southern last week gets the victory at home. And I say at home, they really don't have one. But I'll save that story for another day. Against North Carolina Central and Trey Oliver. I've had Trey Oliver here on this show. And he said, look, I want to play more SWAC schools. Schedule me. And he said specifically, he's ex-Grambling. He wants a home at home. Maybe this gives Grambling a little confidence right now and say, you know what, maybe we can do it. Because watching Texas Southern and Chris Dishman last week, their quarterback, Cam McCoy, who was formerly at Southern as well as Jackson State, had success early on. And let me tell you, Texas Southern can run the ball, and they are physical. They were down early but found a way to get back in. At 42-30, the Tigers all over the Eagles.
Man, so if you don't know this, Perry, Trey Oliver is one of my favorite coaches in all of college football. I love Trey Oliver, man. He is just a soundbite waiting to happen. He doesn't care. He gives it to you raw and uncut, right? Like he just goes for it no matter what the topic is. And so to see his team get on top of Coach Chris Dishman, who's only in the second year, it makes sense. It was like, okay, they're up 14-0. This looks like it's going to be a typical North Carolina Central type of domination, type of victory. But then in that second half, to go 28-6, Chris Dishman and Texas Southern over North Carolina Central, I was shocked. I was like, yo, what is Chris Dishman doing over there to win this game 42-30? What is taking place? And that is something that has surprised me and now has my attention, full attention. Texas Southern, you got me, sir. You got me, squad. You got me to pay full attention to what you got going on down in Houston. Because, hey, to go down 14-0, to be 24-14 at halftime, and then to come out and score 28-6 over a team that I think could still be at the top of the MEAC when it's all said and done at the end of the year, South Carolina State is still the top dog. But but I still think North Carolina Central is going to be in contention for that NEAC title, lets me know that Texas Southern is a team to not be messed with. And Coach Chris Dishman is like, hey, I know we brought in a new AD. I know folks are swirling names around my job, but just know that I am here to stay, and I'm going to make some noise in that SWAC West and potentially for that SWAC championship game.
Oh, yeah, Texas Southern, I'm liking what I see. Let's move over to Atlanta last week. The MEAC SWAC Challenge, Coach Ted White and Howard. The Bisons get a 31-24 victory over the Bulldogs of Alabama A&M. Sam Shade and his team came up short. But your thoughts looking at Howard getting this victory, and most importantly, I thought just because of having Quad Brown back for Alabama A&M was going to give them a leg up, but they still couldn't get things going, and defense seems to be an issue in year two with Coach Sam Shade.
Yeah, man, they're going to have to figure that out, man. To your point, you know, Quad Brown might be the same age as you and me. Right? Quad Brown's been in college for a long time. And to your point, hey, Coach Sam Shade, you came into Alabama A&M with a lot of hype. They got rid of a coach, once again, that I really like. I can't put my personal feelings in all these coaches. But some of these coaches I have relationships with, I like a lot. And they came and they replaced him with you. You got to make something happen. To Howard's point, Ted White coming in, getting the victory. Year one, making that happen. That was big for them. I can't wait to see what they're able to do the rest of the year. But Alabama A&M, there's a ton of teams in the SWAC that look like they've improved this year in 2026. Is Alabama A&M one of them? I'm not so sure. Because, like you said, the defensive lapses are still there. They're still not able to stop folks, at least not as of week zero of 2026. Can you figure that out the rest of the way? I don't know. We're going to have to wait and see. But it didn't look good in week zero.
We jump over into SWAC country. In a couple games, I'm just going to gloss over real quick. I don't think it take much for us to tell you what happens because these games went the way they were supposed to do. Final score, Alcorn State 56, Miles 7, up in Grambling 49 over Clark Atlanta 7. Florida A&M beating Albany State. Now, that was interesting because Quinn Gray's former team, including the quarterback Isaiah Knowles, now Florida A&M, yeah, took on Albany State. Albany State gave them a scare early, but Florida A&M able to get away from them 20-7. My mom's alma mater, UAPB, got a victory up in Little Rock, the Natural State Classic over Morehouse 35-15, just to look past those games, right? And now let's jump into some other games. Tarleton State, number 5 in the country in FCS, and Prairie View. The only thing I take away from this game, I know there are the moral victories, right? Whatever. Prairie View hung in early in the first half, and this is what Coach Tremaine Jackson said. As long as he's here at Prairie View, they're going to play tough opponents. But the one thing I take away, no turnovers, and that's typically what teams like Tarleton and these top 25 FCS teams, they force teams into turnovers and take advantage. Prairie View came out of there with zero. That's my bright spot.
I'm not sure if there's a more confident coach than Coach Tremaine Jackson in Prairie View in the country, right? FBS, FCS, it don't matter. Coach Tremaine Jackson comes in, he lets you know what he's going to do, and he goes out and does it, right? Like, you got Prairie View, SWAC championship game year one, ends up in Atlanta. Now, granted, they should have won in Atlanta, but nonetheless, they lost. He's coming back year two, and it looks as if he's taking the same playbook. And to your point, Terry, no turnovers, disciplined team, transfer portal heavy team, and they put up a good fight. Now, granted, to your point, there's no moral victories in football. You either win or you lose. At the end of the day, the scoreboard tells the story. But I like what I saw, man. I really think they're going to be a team to be reckoned with again in year two for Coach Tremaine Jackson. I cannot wait to see what he's able to do the rest of the way because he is a guy. That's the other thing. He talks, right? He has his social media team put out stuff that is very, very confident, sometimes borderline arrogant. He goes out there, puts out content that is very, very confident, sometimes borderline arrogant. And what are you able to do? Week one, he put up an impressive showing, scoring 30 points, I believe. And what are you able to do in your SWAC play moving forward? I liked it. I can't wait to see what he's able to do because he is in the team, Prairie View, his confidence, their squad, their talent, his coaching. They're going to make some noise in the SWAC once again in year two of Coach Tremaine Jackson.
Another big game over the weekend, Jackson State, Tennessee State, these two rivals meeting for the first time since the old days of the Southern Heritage Classic over in Memphis, Tennessee. This time is in Nashville, played on the campus of Vanderbilt in Nate Stadium. And let me tell you, from every video and picture I saw, that was black college football. When you look at the stands, yes, packed out both these fan bases, you can see the passion, yes, and it was a true rivalry. They put more fans into Vanderbilt Stadium than Vanderbilt could do on their best day, right? And these two teams ultimately got it done. Listen, it came down to an end. The holder just botched it. The kicker just stopped. Jackson State tackled everybody, and they ran off to the sideline with a 26-24 victory over the Tigers of Tennessee State. Man, this was action-packed. Tennessee State had an opportunity to knock off the Tigers.
Tennessee State, to me, was impressive. I mean, we're talking about a two-win team in 2025 and came out hitting Jackson State in the mouth. One thing about JSU that I did like from this game is that they show resiliency, right? They're down early. They have a young quarterback. They have a bunch of young players all over their field. And in the second half, they kept Tennessee State out of the end zone. And at the end of the game, Jackson State hadn't had a sack all year, all game. And you get a sack at the end. You get a false start of Tennessee State at the end. So you push in the field goal kicker back about 15 yards. And then to your point, botched snap, botched hold, and no kick attempt at all. Tackled everybody. The kicker gets tackled. The holder gets tackled. Everybody gets tackled. Like, everybody got tackled at the end of that game to finish it, to have a 26-24 victory. It was close. It was a nail biter. It was nervous, you know, for the JSU fans. You know, the folks down in Jackson were nervous to all get out, despite what they say. They might tell you they weren't nervous. They were nervous. You know what I'm saying? Like, everything was tight over there. They were nervous. But at the same time, they packed out the stadium in Vanderbilt. Down in Nashville, both TSU fans, JSU fans showed up. It was awesome. It was a great display of black college football, to your point. And I'm curious, are you able to really turn it up? Because Jackson State was a 20-point favorite going into the game. 19.5 points, I believe, is what the point spread was. Now, it's always hard to determine those, especially in week zero with teams with completely different rosters. But at the same time, you were expected to go in there and dominate. You didn't. But you did show resiliency as far as coming back in that second half. What are you able to do now? You play Edward Waters this week, so it won't be the same type of challenge. But what are you able to do moving forward? Are you going to be more the team that we saw in Nashville against Tennessee State that got down early and has to come back? Or are you a team that's able to build on that, learn from those mistakes, and really show that you are one of the more talented teams in the SWAC?
Couple games from SWAC teams before we go to break that happened on Thursday night. UAPB going up to take on number 25 Missouri. 54-14, the Missouri Tigers all over the Golden Lions in that one. And Bethune-Cookman, what the hell was you doing down in South Florida fooling with them Central Florida folks? 73-6, get out of there. Don't get it. Get out of there. All right, don't go back over there messing with them folks. What'd you say? You want some of this too, old man? No. All right, I don't want none of that. All right, let's get ready to take a break, everybody. We come back on the side. Jeff Licey and I will look at games that's happening this weekend, week one, and kind of gloss over them and say, hey, what we pick, what we don't pick, and then listen from you guys as well. So you stay tuned. We'll be back more of the Jaguar Journal. All right, everybody, we are back. It is the Jaguar Journal. I'm Perry White. Good morning. Glad to have you guys with us. Good morning to everybody listening across the Baton Rouge capital city area. I know I got my LSU people listening this morning. They are up and alive. They're getting ready to take on Clemson. Southern people, I already know what you're doing. You're up getting ready to take on Kentucky State. Baton Rouge, the 225 is jumping today. If you're looking for football on no matter what the level is, man, we're talking football this morning. Got my man Jeff Lightsey here with me this morning. Junior, good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Perry, man. I appreciate it once again having me on.
Hey, man, glad to have you on. Listen, let's go through this pretty quick. I got about 10 minutes before I got to go to the top of the hour. Let's look at the MEAC. You tell me who you pick in these games. Delaware State versus William & Mary. William & Mary, of course, last week came back. If anybody saw, they came back and won a game with 57 seconds left, and it was crazy. But they're taking on Delaware State today. What are your thoughts?
Man, I like what DeSean Jackson's got going over. His offensive coordinator, Nemo Reese, he is someone that is, once again, likes to run the ball and has impressed me through going through his second season. I like Delaware State, man. I really want to believe in what he's building in Dover. I really want to believe in what they've got going on. I really want to believe that if you run the ball, play the defense, get solid enough quarterback play, because that's the only part that to me is a little bit shaky. If you're able to do those things, that you'll be able to get wins. They're stacking wins. Obviously, the MEAC, because of the limited conference schedule, has to play a ton of non-conference games. But give me Delaware State and Coach DJ.
The rest of them, let's just pick. Norfolk State, Old Dominion, who you got?
I still think Coach Vic can make something happen in year two, but I'm going to go with Old Dominion.
Yo, come on now. We're putting together a parlay this morning, right? North Carolina Central, Elizabeth City. I'm sure who you got in this one. I'm sure you're going Eagles.
Trey Oliver ain't going over to start the season. Give me Norfolk. I mean, North Carolina Central.
Richmond versus Howard. Both teams 1-0.
Yeah, that's interesting, man. I like Howard. Give me Howard.
Should I ask you Morgan State versus Arizona State?
You know what's going on there, man, unfortunately. Unfortunately, you know what's going to happen in that game.
Hey, if y'all listening, we're giving you some parlays this morning. Start going to the
app. Get your
parlays together. All right. Alcorn State goes on the road, take on Southern Miss over in Hattiesburg. Who you got in this one?
Southern Miss in that one. Unfortunately, Alcorn State's going to put up a valiant effort. But Southern Miss going to come away with the win.
Boy, you get low when we get to these games right here. All that energy just goes out the phone.
It hurts my soul, Perry, man. It hurts my soul. I mean, you just said it. You saw what happened Thursday night. 73-6, 54-14.
Get out of there. Stop messing with them folks. What's life? Hey, go after man had enough of a beating. Take him on in. All right. That's enough of a beating. Alabama State, Lane College. This should be a good one and an easy one for the Alabama State. Who you got in this one?
It should be, man. Alabama State got off to a slow start last week. I think that's not the issue this week. Coach Eddie Robinson Jr. is going to have his team's full attention after what took place against your Southern Jaguars. They're going to handle business. Give me Alabama State.
Alabama A&M versus Mal. Sam Shade knows Mal also well, man. Who you got in this one?
Give me Alabama A&M, man. They should take care of business. A lot of SWAC schools playing D2 schools this week. Don't mess around, because it ain't like no D2 schools. They ain't never beat no SWAC school before. Give me Alabama A&M, though.
Yes, Cupcake City around the SWAC this week. Grambling taking on Central State. Central State played last week against Southern's opponent today, Kentucky State. Interesting game because Kentucky State was down 14-3 early. They go on to score, going a 38-0 run. They win 41-14. But when you look at Central against Grambling, Grambling showed out big last week against Clark Atlanta. Who you got in this one between Central State and Grambling?
Grambling is a sneaky pick in the SWAC. Give me Grambling. I think they take care of business, score a bunch of points, put their starters on the bench in the second half. Give me Grambling.
Jackson State, Edward Waters. It's been a while since Deion's first season in that spring year. Edward Waters came over. But all HBCUs aren't the same when we're talking about football. This one of those, who you got between Jackson State and Edward Waters?
I like Jackson State. I like, once again, just like I said with Grambling, I believe they score a bunch of points early, put their starters on the bench in the second half. Give me Jackson State.
A matchup that's interesting, Mississippi Valley, who came to Louisiana just the week ago, to take on Nichols. Now they're going out to California to take on Sacramento State. Man, this could get ugly.
That is a long trip, man. It's a very, very long trip to go all the way out to Sacramento, different time zones, long travel. Sacramento State, to their point, had a new head coach. Their head coach last year is now the OC at Colorado. We saw what he was able to do on Thursday night. But I do think Sacramento State is able to get a big-time win there. Give me Sacramento State.
Yeah, I hope you finish that when you say that's a long trip to get your ass whooped. All right, let's got some Sunday games right tomorrow and some really good games.
Yeah.
And let's start down in Miami, the Orange Blossom Classic, South Carolina State, Florida A&M. Now, listen. I know Florida A&M. This is they love the Orange Blossom Classic. But, for me, Chinnis Berry and South Carolina State don't look like they messing around, man.
Come on. Come on. Come on, man. All right. Chinnis Berry and his team seem to be on a mission this season to show that last season wasn't a fluke, to show that last season wasn't just well-deserved, but just the start of what could potentially be a lot of heads being banged because of what he's able to do with South Carolina State. I think the same is being spoken this week. I don't predict that they're going to score 87 points again now, but I do think they're going to go down to Florida, take care of business, head back to Orangeburg, 2-0. Give me South Carolina State over Sandy.
So you got the orange part. It's the orange blossom, so I guess they can use Orangeburg. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to make anything work, but I think it's South Carolina State all over Florida A&M in this one. Here's a game I'm really going to be watching tomorrow at 11 a.m. ESPN2, a national audience in both these games, because the orange blossom will be on ESPN. So you're going to have HBCU football, all over television on Sunday with South Carolina State and Florida A&M at 2 o'clock on ESPN. And then Texas Southern and Prairie View at 11 a.m. tomorrow on ESPN2, the Labor Day Football Classic. This is a rivalry between Prairie View and Texas Southern. One of my boys last night, a Prairie View alum, my boy Jeff, called and said, hey, man, I heard we only got 400 tickets left. We want to sell this thing out. I'm looking for Prairie View to sell this out. This should be a great matchup considering Texas Southern last week against North Carolina Central and getting that victory. And once again, no moral victories, but watching Prairie View compete hard against the number five team, Tarleton State, in the country.
Yeah, man. So to your point, this to me in week one of the season could have heavy, heavy, heavy SWAC championship implications, right? Texas Southern, to me, at the beginning of the year, before the games ever started, wasn't someone I would expect to compete for that SWAC West title. After that win over North Carolina Central, it shows that they're here to stay and they're here to really compete to send themselves, set themselves up to potentially be, represent the SWAC in the Cricket Celebration Bowl. But I do think Coach Tremaine Jackson has the better team. I do think Coach Tremaine Jackson is going to get the win with Prairie View A&M. Give me Prairie View, but I would not be surprised if Coach Chris Dishman gets his guys up to play and get this win in this classic between these two rivals.
I don't know what I want to do in this one because, man, look.
I didn't either, Barry. Hey. I didn't either. I was tough. I was torn, man. I really wanted to go take Southern, but I think Prairie View is just – I just went on my gut and they said Prairie View, but I would not be surprised if Texas Southern gets the win.
Because this thing came down to literally the last play last year, and Prairie View found a way to pull it out. Listen, that run game of Texas Southern is potent, man. And
yeah.
But what I do like about Prairie View, they don't turn the ball over. They didn't turn the ball over last week, and they will play with you. They will get what I want to do, let me see. Let me rub the crystal ball with a one. Yeah. Let me pull the cards and flip them. I might go, you know what? I'm going with whoever wins, Jeff. That's what I'm doing. I'm going with.
That's an easy way to do it. That makes it easy for you.
Because at the end of the day, we got to get past both of them as Southern. So, you know, I hope they both lose, actually, you know, walk away with an L. But I don't know, man. I just know this. This will be a great game with a great atmosphere for national television. And first time for Texas Southern and Prairie View to have this type of spotlight with this rivalry. I'm excited for both these schools to be able to showcase their talent. Jeff, can you hang on through a break with me? Because I do want to talk about Southern and Alabama State coming around on the other hour.
Yes, sir. I got you. Let's do it.
Mike, we got to take a break right now. Well, all right, let's get ready to take a break, everybody. We're at the top of the hour. We come back on the other side. We'll give you Alabama State Southern from last week, and we'll move from there. And then guess what? I'm going to open up the call lines to 225-499-1073, 225-499-1073. I want to hear from you guys as well, and what's your thoughts? Because listen. I'm going to be very candid with you. I'm going to give my opinion. Whether you like it or not, I don't care. But I'm going to be honest with you in terms of what I saw. I've watched. This is 15 years of covering Southern and HBCU, so I think I pretty much know what I see and what I'm talking about. But I make mistakes sometimes. I'm wrong. I be tripping sometimes. So you guys stay tuned. Me and Jeff Lyson, we'll be right back on the other side. We'll be back more to Jaguar Journal.